Joining us now at our studios, Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, good morning. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Good morning, Jeff. Great to see you today.
It's the middle of summer. Last we talked to you, school was ready to be adjourned for the summer. The summer recess is here. And that always means a lot of things. It doesn't mean that you're not doing anything. As a matter of fact, the schools are kind of a beehive of different kinds of activity this time of year. Let's talk about that a little bit, some of the projects and things you have going on.
So many people think of those carefree days of summer when they were students. And the truth is that, as you said, the school district is buzzing with a lot of activity. The cadence is different, right? We don't see, you know, the army of yellow buses out every morning. There's a lot of things that are different. It is not the middle. If we asked our staff, it's not quite yet the middle of summer. They've got quite a bit of time left for students and staff. We've got some summer programming that happens. So right away out of the gate, there's a summer school program for students who need to make up credits, typically at the secondary level. That's been going on since actually June 10th. So that's been going on for some time. Coming right after the 4th of July, we'll have some great summer programming for our students. Middle school students have got Summer Blast coming up, a number of other programming that's available. Of course, our Ventures program has Kids on Campus Community Ed, all sorts of activities. And then there are fewer people who are more aware of how few days there are between the end of the school year and when teachers return than our custodial staff and our buildings and grounds department. So there's really, if you think about it, a pretty short window to get a number of projects done over a period of time. And so this summer, there's a handful of maintenance and repair things that are going on. So you may have noticed earlier this month, there was some repair of the entrance, just some blacktop at the middle school. There's going to be some work at the entrance to Bridgewater. If you remember, a few years ago, we switched the traffic flow at Bridgewater so people enter that campus coming off of Division Street. There wasn't time at that when that was done to be able to install better lighting and a new sign. So those are the kinds of things that are happening this summer. There's also some things happening just inside buildings. For example, there's been some updates to the traffic flow in the middle school cafeteria, bringing down a kind of a dividing wall that was there to contain people a little bit, but was actually creating more problems now than it had intended to solve. And so those are the kinds of things that our buildings and grounds team, and of course, they're pulling apart classrooms, doing a good deep clean. We are good stewards. Stewardship is one of our six strategic commitments in the district, and we are good stewards of the facilities that we've been entrusted with. And part of that is making sure we do good cleaning every summer, taking care of our grounds and all of those kinds of things. So thanks to Justin Robley, Tracy Clausen, and the entire Buildings and Grounds team for their great work getting all of these projects done.
That's good. It sounds like there's not, there are some summers we have a little bit more major projects going on, and having a summer where there's not a big construction crew and huge pieces of machinery out there, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's very true. And again, it's a lot of times it's that maintenance that's so important.
You know, we had talked about Juneteenth. Yeah. There was a Juneteenth event that was put on. Was that at the middle school or
the high school?
Was that the high school? Yeah, tell us about how that went.
So we had our inaugural Juneteenth celebration. Listeners may remember that the 2023 legislature enacted that Juneteenth, which is the celebration of when slaves in Galveston, Texas, heard about the Emancipation Proclamation a couple of years after it happened. It's a celebration remembering that part of our American history. The 2023 Minnesota legislature made it a state holiday, and so this is only the second year of it, and we did not have a community celebration in Northfield, and so the school district took the lead on that. Something that came from our Black Parent Advisory Committee that meets several times a year. Really want to thank Kamisha Wynn. She's a parent from that committee who did a lot of work to help us identify our speaker and our caterer. Want to thank the sponsors, Nuger, and then Northfield Racial, Ethnic, and Equity Coalition and Northfield Promise. They sponsored the event so that it could be fully paid for. So we did something that is very Northfield-like, Jeff. We had a lecture. And so Dr. Yolanda Williams, who's a lecturer at the University of Minnesota, she gave a great presentation entitled Black Americana and Its Connection to Juneteenth, something I think you and Rich would have really enjoyed. She really went through a deep history of black music in the United States and how black music really is American music, obviously, and that how it influenced popular music over time. It was just an amazing connection that Dr. Williams made between black music and the American popular music movement. Really well attended. Over 70 people attended. We were able to have a meal, again, through the generous sponsors. Mama Sheila's House of Soul from Minneapolis provided what was a sensational meal. And again, people had community. We were able to celebrate this event. And we're just so grateful for our sponsors and all. You know, I was worried. This is our first, you know, was our first one. We didn't have registration, Jeff. You never know. Are you going to get, you know, 10 people or, you know, what are you going to get? Mm-hmm. And we had over 70 people and just really thrilled. Northfielders show up and they want to learn, right? People were so intrigued and engaged in this lecture. Really a great learning experience for everyone in the community.
Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman, is with us this morning. We're talking about some of the things that are going on within the school district. One thing that we should talk about is Noel Strabmone, who is the longest, I believe, the longest serving school board member in the state of Minnesota.
Currently, the current longest school board, yep.
But Noel has temporarily resigned, I understand?
Yes, yeah, so late last week, Noel Strabmone, who, let's just put it out there, Noel is a legend in this community and state, and you can't talk about Noel without talking about Lois. Mm-hmm. Noel and Lois are pillars of this community. They have done more for Northfield than many others will probably ever do. Just wonderful pillars of our community. And as some people know, Noel has had some health issues. Last year, in 2022, he had some health issues, and then most recently. And so Noel did take advantage last week of a state statute that allows school board members to temporarily resign their position for health reasons. And so we got that letter late last week. The board will have to take action on it. Expect that to happen at the July 8th meeting. And then they will go about a process to appoint a replacement. Now, that replacement under this part of statute, there'll be a process. We did this in late 2022, if people recall, and early 2023. The board will have a process, an application process, in which people are able to share their interest in this temporary, this replacement position. And that person would then be immediately, once the board appoints an individual, that person would be immediately seated on the board and then would serve until such time that Noel feels that well enough to come back to the board or to the end of his term. Now, Noel's term ends at the end of 2024, and so this person could potentially serve all the way to the end of Noel's term, or until when he feels well enough to come back. So this is, I shared this before when Noel took advantage of this option in 2022. This is just what good governance looks like. It allows people who have been elected, in this case, Noel has been elected consecutively since 1980. 1980! The people of this community have trusted his judgment. He's using that again to say, I need to step away for a little bit. This is just what good governance looks like. Let's Noel step away, take care of what he needs to do, allows the board to appoint a temporary replacement, and continue the work of the board. And I just invite the entire community. Noel and Lois are special people. And if you'll just hold them in their hearts as Noel continues to recover, just talked to him the other day, he's feeling better, feeling good, still recovering, but just please hold the Strabmones in your heart. Just special people in the community. There are things that make this community unlike a lot of others. And in my opinion, Noel and Lois Strabmone are toward that top of that of the list for me about what makes Northfield, Northfield.
Yeah, I would echo those sentiments wholeheartedly. Absolutely. We wish Noel the best and also Lois as well as they continue on trying to get well. We have... you know, of course, we can't really have you on here now for the next 6 months without talking about a referendum.
We have a referendum?
Yeah, we have a referendum.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
You should probably get to work on that.
Yeah.
You came and spoke with our Lions Club a couple of weeks ago, so I know that you have been out, and it wasn't just us. I think we were number like 38 on the list of people that you've talked to thus far, groups that you've talked to. I don't know where you're at on that list now, but you're still out there putting the word out. Tell us about that.
So I think our goal is to make sure that every voter in the community has enough information to be able to make a decision based upon good information, hopefully a personal experience by touring the high school, and that when they go to the ballot, you know, as early as September 20th, when early voting starts, that they have enough information to make a wise decision for them. The voters are always right. We just want to make sure it's an informed electorate. So I my latest count, Jeff, is I think last night we did a short turnaround with the Chamber of Commerce having a mayoral and a city council candidate forum at the high school last night. We did a last-minute addition to have a tour before that that event, and we had 9 people show up. We didn't announce it till Thursday, and we had 9 people show up, and that was event number 40. And so the events that we're talking about are things like the tours that we're providing. By the way, our next tour is July 8th, 4 to 6 p.m., 4 to 5:30 p.m. or so at the high school. We've done tabling. We had a team of people tabling at last Thursday's Soggy Third Thursday event. We are doing things like providing literature, for example, at the spring play. When people came in, they not only got their program, but they also got a postcard-sized sheet that gave them a QR code and some information. We obviously have been talking about it here on the radio. It's been in other local media, the newspaper, etc. I think parents are probably tired of the items in my family updates, but what our goal is to make sure that people have enough information where they can internalize, they can make their own decision, and they are ready to vote as an informed voter this fall. And so we'll continue to have these kinds of pieces. Today, this afternoon, I'm presenting the Community Education Advisory Council. We've got a number of other things through the summer. We'll announce more tours. And literally, anybody in this community that would like to have a conversation about the referendum, please give me a call. Would be happy to meet with a group of people that you have. It might be, you know, 6 people who get together for coffee. If you say, hey, you know, I've got 10 people who we play bridge every other week, you want to come for a tour, call our office, we'll schedule a tour. We want to make sure this is really a retail piece for us. We want people to know about it. We want people to see the problems that we're trying to solve with their own eyes. And we just ask people to be open to get the facts, right? That's a really important piece. And the district is being transparent. You've said it before. We're getting the information out there. We're being transparent about what we're asking for. We're being transparent about what it's going to cost. And then you get to make your own decision as we move ahead. So please feel free to call, come to a tour. If you have an event you'd like us to come and table at, we can certainly do that. Or if you would just like some leaflets and some information to get it out to other folks, let us know.
You know, right now you're in a the full court press and getting this all out to the all this information out to everybody you possibly can. While at the same time, are there other things going on with that referendum? You know, maybe design, or there's teams working on this or that or the other thing. Are there other things going on?
Great question, Jeff. And no, there's no design yet. Mm-hmm. In Minnesota, architects and engineers, they will help in terms of the concept. But most businesses here could understand if you had a major project like what we're talking about affecting, you know, a building that's, you know, 250,000 plus square feet, you don't get those design plans for free, right? So architectural firms, design firms, construction firms won't start doing that detailed work until the results of a referendum are known. So we are getting support from our partners at Wold Architects and from Knutson Construction about some of the conceptual designs, and those items are available on our website for the 3-question bond referendum. And so we are doing some other work, like we did get some funds from the city's carbon reduction fund to be able to do plan some testing for geothermal wells. That's something that typically wouldn't be able to happen until after a bond referendum passes, but we were able to get that so we could do that early. That should help us inform the design if should that question pass. So those are some of the kinds of preparatory things that we can do, but we don't count our chickens, right? We will wait for the results from the voters, and then we design and go from there. So that's an important point. You know, should any one of the questions pass, should question one or all 3 questions pass in November, members of the community will be invited to participate in the design. This cake is not baked yet, right? We have some concept, we have a recipe, we have some ingredients that we're suggesting that we move ahead with, but then the community gets to come together and help finalize the design.
Mm-hmm. And select the frosting. Yeah, there's 3 questions involved.
We want to be clear, we're good stewards, so I'm not sure how much, you know, fancy frosting there will be. This will be if you look at our history, you look at the receipts that the school district has provided, if you look at what the middle school was, and 20 years later, now that we're retiring the debt from that middle school, and we look back at what was projected at the time of the bond referendum passing, and we look at what principal and interest was projected to be, because we're such good stewards of funds and we relentlessly renegotiate debt, taxpayers of this community paid $4 million less for that building than what was told to them when the referendum was passed. And we look at the 2018 bond referendum, many people who go through the new Greenville Park building say, this is great. It's a very nice building, but it's also very pragmatic, right? It's not excessive in any way, shape, or form. And I'd like to remind people there, voters passed $41 million worth of bonding. Because we have an amazing finance director, Val Murdestorf, she's a genius. We have a great bond rating, AA+. Only three school districts in the state have a better bond rating than Northfield Public Schools. And we had a little bit of luck on bid day. We did all the projects that we told people we would do in 2018, not for $41 million, but for $39 million. And we didn't go and try to find other projects that we could use that bonding authority on. The school district does what it says it's going to do. And we are really serious about taking care of the resources that have been entrusted to us. And so the proposed building changes, the addition, the renovations, some demolition as part of that. We will do what we've said we're going to do. We're going to do it in a way that is very good for kids, for staff, but it's also pragmatic enough to where people are going to get a lot of money, a lot of value for their money should this move ahead.
Once again, Superintendent Hillman is with us. We're just about done with our conversation, but I'll ask you this. What's coming up in the first couple of weeks of July before the next time we talk to you? You've got the 4th of July, obviously, so I would imagine there will be at least a little pause in some of the activity for a day or so around that time. What's going on within the schools?
So a couple things. We use this process of really collaborative leadership in our district. We call them work teams. And so we bring in teachers and other staff to be able to help really solve or address pretty substantial issues that we're facing. So things that we really want to tackle. We bring in people almost as a focus group, extended focus group. And so we have 10 different work teams that are going this summer. And they range from things like our student citizenship handbook work team that's focusing on, you know, is our approach to student discipline, is it still appropriate? Do we need to make changes or tweaks? We have a team that's looking at our teacher development and evaluation system. We have people who are looking at literacy and mathematics. All of these different kinds of teams come together, again, to do some thinking outside of the pressure of the school year, and they will make recommendations as we move ahead. And we have a long history, you can talk to our staff, of executing the recommendations that those teams make. We also, believe it or not, still have some activities going, Jeff. So I'm really pleased to share that our clay target team, which has over 100 participants, is still going strong. And they have their final, what I understand, well, it might not be their final event, but they have a state event tomorrow at the Minneapolis Gun Club where we have two teams participating in the state skeet championships. And really skilled, it's amazing. I got to watch part of a competition earlier this spring. Our team performs out, or they compete at the Morristown Gun Club, excuse me. And it was just a great experience to see these 100 students who are so committed to this activity. And there's all sorts of things. So, for example, our trap team qualified for the state tournament. They finished number 11. They hit 471 of 500 targets. That's wow. Pretty darn good. We had team participants on that were Mason Sevchek, Tad Stanton, Jaden Schultz, Chase Beckius, Ian Sevchek, Kyle Balfour, and Danica Balfour. Two individuals also qualified as individual participants to participate. And Ian Sevchek and Tad Stanton both finished in the top 100. This is one of the fastest growing activities in the nation. And it's really, especially in Minnesota, it's really impressive. Our skeet team, they did finish first in the conference. Tad Stanton tied for first place in the state at the meet last week and the conference. Jaden Schultz finished first place overall in the female division. Ava Miller finished third in the female division. And again, they compete tomorrow in a state skeet championship meet in Prior Lake at the Minneapolis Gun Club. So really, Pete Mergens is the head coach, and they've got dozens of volunteer coaches. It is an amazing event to see the learning that students have, the commitment that they have to this activity. So, you know, Pete is a great community leader. Thanks to Pete for being our coach and doing all this work. He's really built an amazing program. So here it is, June 25th, and we still have activities going, and we haven't even gotten to talk about the Northfield bass fishing team yet, which we can talk about the next time.
All right. Wow, that's a lot of things going on. You're right about the whole trap shooting. It's 10, 15 years ago, nobody was doing it. No kids were doing it. Yep. Now it's just become the fastest growing sport in the country. And Northfield's leading the pack, too. Definitely
doing
leaders.
Very well.
Great job, Pete. And
congratulations to that whole
crew.
Too.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
As always, Jeff, a pleasure.
Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman.